Johnson, you're right.
And with that said, of course, I'm going to preach, teach my message that I normally teach right before or right after Thanksgiving next week, and that's watching out for the times.
That's good.
And not getting so cumbered about like Mary was here in our text.
I remember that.
I'm sorry, Martha.
Martha.
Sorry, I got the wrong way. All right, we gave you with the memory verse, Matthew 14:31, before we went into missions mode. So go over to Matthew 14. Matthew 14:31. By the way, tonight we're going to talk more about the elections. And what God is doing. By the way, how many were shocked with the election results?
Oh, I was.
You guys weren't shocked? I was shocked.
So was I, Pastor.
I just knew Hillary was going to win. Mm-hmm. I was already hunkering down. Amen. I thought she was going to win. I did. How many thought that Hillary was going to win? How many thought Trump was going to win? Really? I thought most people thought that. Well, we'll discuss a little bit of that tonight. We need to do as we prepare for the future.
Yep.
See how God's going to work this out. Amen. All right, Matthew 14, verse 31 is the verse that we left you out on.
Yep.
The last time we were together, during the stress. And we'll see how God's going to deal with this here. But, sir, give me just a little bit more on the mic here.
With that, so Matthew, there we go. Amen. Matthew 14. And verse 31 was our verse there. Does anybody need a book? Nobody needs a book? Amen. Okay, good. That means we all are booked.
Amen.
All right, Matthew 14:31. Let's go ahead and say that. why are you laughing, sister? We're booked. What's wrong with that? Oh, you're talking about the jail booked. Oh, amen. Well, hopefully we're not that kind of book. You're not talking about that kind of booked? Oh, booked up. Oh, okay. I see. I'm going on a criminal thing already. Book them, Dano. Amen. Hawaii 50 days. All right. Matthew 14:31. Let's say that one together. Here we go. Matthew 14:31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Matthew 14:31. We left off on this verse because we had talked about how the focus of Peter was off. And that's what we were talking about in your book. We're going to have a word of prayer here. And then we're going to go into B under the pace of Mary. We'll give you the outline and we'll continue with that. I've got a devotion I want to share with you that I read just a couple days ago. I think it might be a blessing to you, talking about this area of Martha and Mary. Father, now bless in our Sunday school hour. Well, we know that the season of Christmas should be one of the most joyous times of the year. And Lord, for many it is. But then for others, not only does it come with joy, but it comes with added and sometimes needless stress. And God, help us as we balance the priorities in this time of the year. Lord, not to do more than we need to do. But Lord, make sure that what we need to do is balanced with what we should do. Thank you so much for loving us this morning. Bless now in this time as we look at the victory that we can have over stress. And Lord, I pray that you would guide, direct, and lead in our discussion this morning as we consider so valuable of a topic during such a time of the year as this. Now use this time, Lord, to glorify thyself. Bring us closer to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. We looked at this area, Matthew. And we're talking about the outline here. And let me give you the outline at the outset in your book. We're on victory over stress. And it was Roman numeral 1, the pace of Mary. The pace of Mary. And that's in your books. And then we had A was a restful pace. A restful pace. B was a renewing pace. Renewing pace. And then under B, there was number 1, renew your focus. And that's where we stopped at, renew your focus. And let me give you the others here. just in case we get bogged down. Two is renew your faith. Mm-hmm. Renew your faith. And then three is renew your fervency. Mm-hmm. Renew your fervency. Renew your fervency. F-E-R-V-E-N-C-Y. What page is that on in the student book?
18.
Okay, so that's 18. So that's Roman numeral 1, the pace of Mary, P-A-C-E. A restful pace, restful pace. B, a renewing pace, renewing pace. And then one, we need to renew our focus, or renew your focus. Two, renew your faith. Then three, renew your fervency. And so we're going to consider that today. But before that, everybody got those written down? Let me share with you this devotion that I read a couple days ago. And it was entitled Sitting at Jesus' Feet. And it used Luke 10:40. Matter of fact, let's go over and look at Luke 10:40. Luke 10:40. And I thought it was pretty balanced what they said. Luke 10 and verse number 40. And but Martha was cumbered about with serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And it says, sitting at Jesus' feet. Said Martha loved Jesus clearly and would have done anything for him. Her struggle came in being still. Martha spent so much time serving Jesus that she had no time to enjoy his company or get to know him better. Ever been in that situation? You know, you're so busy serving the one that is in your presence that you don't have a time to enjoy them. Family may come over, and you're so busy doing for them that you don't get to enjoy them. That's a dilemma that we have when my parents come out. We are so busy doing for them, and so then we end up spending time with them to the wee hours of the night. And then it's hard to get up the next morning because we were so busy cooking and cleaning and ministering to them. And then when it's time to sit down, we sit down for hours. And before you know it, it's 2 o'clock, and the kids got to go to school, and we're thinking, Lord, we can't do this the next night. And you know what we do the next night? The same thing. And then we say, man, we can't do this anymore. And you know what we do the next night? Same thing. And we say, we cannot do this again. And all the way up until it's time for them to go, we say, we can't do this the last night because you guys got to get up and catch the plane at whatever time. You know what we do? The same thing. And then when they're gone, we say, man, but it was worth it. Amen. And we got bags under our eyes. Amen. Kids are asleep and tired. But it says, the harder Martha worked, the more frustrated she became with her sister, Mary. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet while Martha scurried around the house to make sure everything was in perfect order for Jesus. Martha's service, though it started out with gladness, deteriorated into resentment and envy. It is good to want to serve Christ as an expression of love for what he has done for you. Yet, when your activity consumes your time and energy so that you have no time for him, you have become too busy. You may think, as Martha did, that if you don't do the work, it won't get done.
Amen.
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 Raise my hand. That may be true, but Jesus taught that your highest priority must be your relationship with him. If anything detracts you from that relationship, that activity is not from God. God will not ask you to do something that hinders your relationship with Christ. At times, serving God and carrying out his mission is the best way to know and experience God. At other times, it is more important to sit quietly at his feet and listen to what he is saying. We are not called to continually sit at Jesus' feet. Otherwise, our service for him would cease. Neither are we called to serve him incessantly without taking time to find restoration in his presence. Have you been serving God so diligently that you have not had time to spend with him? And it ends with that question mark. I read that and I thought, man, that is good. That goes right along with what this season is all about. Oftentimes we can get so consumed with the serving and the doing that we forget about the sitting and the being. I know I fall in that category often. And it's got to be something that we can balance out and make sure we've got the right amount of balance on that. Because we do need to serve God. but we also have to sit and hear from God as well. And so I thought that was very good devotion that was in that particular day. That was November 18th. We're going on in our book here. We're at Luke chapter number 10. And the passage is verses 38 through 42. And we learned throughout this thing that we're going to have to really magnify what Mary did and not so much what Martha did, because Martha didn't do the exact right thing that she needed to do. Was serving God wrong? No, it wasn't wrong. But what did she do according to Jesus' comments? What did Martha search? She didn't do the more needful thing. And what was the more needful thing? Hearing his words. Yep. Sitting at his feet. Is it okay to serve God? Yes, it's great to serve God. And we should. But it's more important to sit at his feet. The service can go on after he's gone. The words won't. And so she had that opportunity. And so we looked at the pace of Mary. Mary's life did not move at the same speed as Martha's. May I encourage you, this Christmas season, don't try to keep up with the Joneses. Amen. Don't try to keep up with, you know, whoever is doing what. And because their kids do it, your kids got to do it. And because their husband does it, your husband's got to do it. And because their wife, don't try to keep up. You'll run yourself ragged. And because their kids bought it, you know, your kids got to buy it. Don't. You know, one of the things that I dislike about this time of year is the commercials that come on and put the bait out there for the kids, try to reel them in to buy this toy and buy that toy. And if you buy this toy, you'll be like this person. And man, I don't like those commercials. But I must say that we watched them when we were kids, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we wanted those same toys. And what did we do?
The Sears catalog.
Exactly. Folding the pages down, circling the items that you wanted. Amen. I want this. I want this. Called it the wish book. What do you want? The whole book. Here you go. I want the whole book. Just go through the pages. You see everything I want. Amen. So don't try to keep up with the Joneses. We saw be a restful place. She took the time to rest in the presence of the Lord. And then be a renewing place. She was taking time to sit and listen to Jesus and his provided spiritual renewal for Mary. And we can find some refreshment and renewal at the word of God and at God's feet. And so renew your focus is where we stopped at. By the way, sister, it's easy to lose our focus when we are under stress. How many of y'all agree with that?
Oh, amen.
When you're under stress, when you got to make a decision right now, man, you can lose your focus. And, you know, someone is demanding of you. It's easy to try to please them who is demanding than to go back and say, what does God want? It's so easy. I mean, the kids are coming. Mommy, I got to have this. I want this. I want this. I want this. You go, well, what? When need it? I need it now. And we forget. We get stressed out. Well, just take it. Then we come back, that wasn't the right decision to make.
That's right, Pastor.
And so renew your focus is there. We cannot forget the things that are most important in the pressures of the moment. By the way, that's when it's time to have the word of God that we've memorized to surface back up and help us with some decisions that we need to make. Mm-hmm. When we spend time at Jesus' feet, we focus on him instead of on troubles. Amen. Amen. By the way, when Peter was sinking, he lost his focus. How many of y'all ever tried to hit the bullseye with a bow and arrow? Anybody good with a bow and arrow?
Yikes.
Serge, how'd you do?
Sporadic.
You know, now if you've got the gun type of bow, that's cheating, I think. You know, it's got the little trigger on it, that's cheating. The real bow and arrow, you got a real bow that you got to put it in there, and you got to bring it back like that, and you got to put it between your... Now, that's the real thing.
Yes, sir.
That's the real thing. Exactly. You got the, you know, you got the thing out there, and your arm shaking like this, and then it's shaking, then you let it go, and it goes fast.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And then you go and look at the target, and you're not anywhere close to it. But for a moment, you had to focus.
Yes, sir.
How many of y'all got the little cameras on your cell phones? And for the moment, you have the focus. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the picture that was taken, yeah, and everybody's face is all shaky and blurry. Mm-hmm. And you think, what happened with this? You know what happened? You lost your focus.
Yep.
Is it easy to lose focus?
Yeah.
It's just as easy as taking that pitcher and shaking just a little bit, or having that bow and arrow and shaking just a little bit. And by the time it reaches down there, it's going to go. So put yourself in Peter's shoes when Peter sunk. Was it easy for him to lose his focus? Jesus was only maybe about that wide, maybe about that tall. And the storm around him was massive. The waves were massive. So he's got one small Jesus, but so much big storm around him. Isn't that the way life seems sometimes?
Yes,
I've got one small Jesus and everything else is massive. And that's where we fail at, because we've got to focus on Jesus because he controls the storm. And although he may be small in stature, he's big in power.
Amen.
And although he may be small in stature, he's big in knowing what we need. And we've got to focus on him and not take our eyes off of him.
Right.
Is the storm big? Yes. Is it great? Yes. Is it massive? Yes. But Jesus is more.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we look at what's going on around us when stressful times come.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose sight of Jesus.
I
was listening to one of Kenny Baldwin's messages just a couple days ago, and the title of the message was, Why Some People Don't Get It.
Oh.
Why Some People Don't. And one of the points that he made was, we maximize problems and we minimize the power of God. The problem is so big, and God's power is so small. And I believe that's what happened to Peter. And I believe that that's what happens to us in stress. A stressful time comes on, and it seems to be bigger than what God is. And so the point that is made here is renew our focus. By the way, ask a question. If we answer it honestly, we would all say yes. Does Jesus seem blurry in our focus at times? He does. Let's just be honest. He does. I mean, we could sit here and be pious. Oh, no, Jesus is always crystal clear to me. If he was, we wouldn't do what we do. I'll just be honest. Let's just be real. Let's keep it real. Jesus does get blurry, just like your camera pictures get blurry. Just like we try to get that bow and arrow down there, it happens. That's a part of life. But what happens on your camera when things get blurry? What do? You delete.
Delete it.
Well, if the picture's already taken, yes, you do delete. But if the picture's not taken, what do you normally do with your camera? You put it away. Refocus. Yes. You refocus. If you're trying to take that picture and it gets blurry, you hit that little button and it refocuses and boom, there you go.
Yeah.
And so it is with Jesus. Stress can detract us from what matters most. More than anything else, we need to direct our attention toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's our focus that is the key. I had this other devotion that I read this week, and it was talking about how do you see Jesus? And they brought up the point that it's oftentimes easy to see one or two points in Jesus. We see the powerful magnificence of Jesus, or we'll see the compassionate, tender side of Jesus. And can we take one without the other? No. If I take one without the other, what am I likely going to do? Backslide, or I'm going to have a wrong view of God. Because is he compassionate and gentle and forgiving? Yes. Now, that's all the focus that I have. What am I likely to do when it comes to my sinfulness? Excuses. Take advantage of his graciousness and his mercy. If I look over at just his power and his might and his magnificence, what might I do? What did you say, Serge? Not be robotic. I can't do anything because God may strike me dead. So I must read my Bible. I must pray. If I don't, God's power will smite me down. We become so fearful.
Yeah.
Oh, not understanding his mercy, his tenderness. And so I can't have one without the other. And oftentimes I'll have that view of him and be what I ought not and do what I ought not do. Or I have this view of him and not be what I need to be. But I've got to be right in the middle and think about his mercy and his compassion, but also his power. And I've got to have the right focus of who God really is, especially in stressful times. Why? It's so easy to get cumbered about during stress and forget who God is. And so, by the way, this is very important. Under number one, renew your focus. Notice what the book says here. Satan knows that if he can rob us of our focus on Jesus,
he
can get us off track. Say that again. Satan knows that if he can rob us of our focus on Jesus, he can get us off track. He will do whatever he can to distract us. By the way, why is that so effective? Why is that so effective? Why does Satan want to get us off target? And why is that so effective? Won't be a good testimony. That's one thing. What else? By the way, when we're trying to hit the bullseye and the bullseye is blurry, are we going to be able to hit the bullseye 9 times out of 10? Probably not.
Nope.
What is God's design and desire for us? To hit the bullseye.
Hit the bullseye, yep.
That's his desire. But if our focus is off, what's going to happen? We're not going to hit it, which means we're not going to please God. Which means Satan has gotten the victory in that particular item. Which means that whatever stressful situation Satan bought or God allowed to come our way, we have one or two choices: to do it God's way or let Satan take us away. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important during stressful times to have the right focus on who God is and who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he can do in our lives. Satan will do whatever it takes to get us off track. By the way, did Jesus keep his focus during his earthly ministry? All the way to the cross, he did.
Yes, he did.
Did he let anything distract him? No, he didn't.
Nope.
What did he say when it was time to go through Samaria? The Bible said he must needs go through Samaria.
Yep.
He knew that I need to go there and nothing is going to stop me. Even when it came down to talking to the woman at the well and everybody thought, what are you doing talking to that woman? He said, I need to talk to her. I need to talk to her. And so when you look at this, our focus is so key in renewing our pace. And so number two, renew your faith. Notice Isaiah 40, 31. Let's go over there. Isaiah 40, 31. Again, coming up in this season, this Christmas season, is going to be so important for you and I to keep our focus. Isaiah 40, 31. The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. Are we going to get tired? Yes. Are we going to work hard? Yes. Are we going to get sick? Probably. Yes. Are we going to have more to do than we have time to do it in? Yes. And if those things happen, what normally comes right after that? Stress. Because I didn't do what I was supposed to do because my strength did not equal my task. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall what? Mount up with wings as eagles. Can an eagle fly without his wings? No. No more than you can walk without your legs. He's going to mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Are we going to run over the holidays? Yes.
Yes,
yes we are. Now, I'm not talking about physically run. I'm talking about the pace is going to pick up more so than it does, which is kind of ironic because our kids are out of school. We're off of work. But our pace picks up. Why does our pace pick up? Got many things to do. So if I've got many things to do, my pace picks up, but I've got time off and the kids are out of school, what can I do to eliminate some stress? Pray is one thing, yes. What else can I do to eliminate stress? Take some of the things off. What is a priority and what is not? That's the same thing that came down to Mary and Martha. What can I take off and eliminate and what can I do? And that's what Mary and Martha are going through right now. Martha chose not to take anything off, obviously, whilst Mary is enjoying the benefits. Notice what it says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So we're going to be able to go on and not give up or not quit. By the way, in the book, it says this, our first response to stress is to try to blank it. Anybody know what that blank is? Not ignore it, but sometimes we do that. Yes, ma'am. What's that?
Refuse
it. Sometimes we do that, but that's not what they said. It's more typical for men than it is for ladies. What do you say, sis? We try to solve it. Often our first response to stress is to salve it first and pray second. That's us. We're all guilty of it. Something happens, what's the first thing that comes to our mind? Prayer or solve it? Fix it. Solve it. Why pray when I can fix it? And what was God saying? I could have helped you with that. I could have given you a better solution. I could help you fix it quicker. I was working on the lights. Faith light wasn't working, so I had to go into an electrical box, which I hate because I've been jolted several times. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm going to be smooth this time. I'm only going to turn off this area here, and I'm good to go. So I turned that thing off and in there working on it. And I had it going on. And all of a sudden I said, okay, everything's off, so I can touch this thing here. And boom, big spark came up. And I thought, okay, that was not smart. That was not smart. So then I went down and turned the whole house off. I said, I'm turning the whole house off. You know, from one extreme to the next. From not turning it off to turning everything off. And all I had to do was turn off that room. So I finally went back and turned just that room off. And it worked fine. And it dawned on me. I hadn't done something. What didn't I do? Pray.
Pray, Pastor.
What was I trying to do? Solve it.
Yep.
I was quickly trying to solve it. And so now after I about electrocuted myself and after I about burnt the house down, I thought maybe I should pray. And so I prayed, and God bless. And so our first attempt is to fix it. And if we're going to renew our faith and we're going to renew our strength, then we've got to get involved with God's word and God's meditation. Here's a quote. Someone once said, it doesn't matter how great the pressure is. What really matters is where the pressure lies, whether it comes between me and God or whether it presses me nearer to his heart. Read that again. Someone said, it doesn't matter how great the pressure is. What really matters is where the pressure lies, whether it comes between me and God or whether it presses me nearer to his heart. Waiting on God builds and restores our faith in him as it forces us to abandon self-reliance. So what did Martha do that Mary did not do? Martha said, I can do all this myself, but in trying to do it herself, what happened to her attitude? Got bad, got sour. She looked over at Martha, or Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet. She got a little bit resentful, a little bit envious. I'm serving, I'm doing all this, and you're not doing anything. By the way, help you out. Keep your eyes on what God wants you to do. Yep. Don't look at someone else. And so let's look at this third one, renew your fervency. Number three, renew your fervency. So we got making sure that you renew your focus, then renew your faith, but then renew your fervency. In your book, you should have Psalm 63:1, right? Oh, God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Now, what's the advantages of seeking God early in the morning? No distractions. Most folks are asleep unless they're on the East Coast.
Yep.
Okay. And so if you get up early, there are no distractions. Where's normally everybody at in your house in the mornings early? Normally sleep. So he says, oh, God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. So the psalmist is saying, you know what? I'm going to wake up early, Lord, and seek you. And my soul is like someone that's thirsty. My flesh is like someone that's in a dry and thirsty land with no water. How many of y'all have been thirsty, didn't have any water?
Boy, I have.
Amen. Same thing. I take allergy medicine. It dries me out. So my voice is normally always dry. And so I've got to keep water because the allergy medicine dries me out. And it's like, man, I got to get some water.
Yeah.
But guess what? When you're in the desert, you got to have something to drink.
Yes, sir, you do, Pastor.
How many of y'all went on a long hike without water?
Ooh.
Tasha, how'd you feel?
You needed
more water.
Yeah.
Now, did anybody ever go on a hike and somebody tell you the secret of how you can actually survive? My wife and I were adult leaders for the Boy Scouts, and we went on this hike, and we didn't get lost, but we got long.
Oh, man.
And when we got long, we ran out of water. And he said, you get you a rock and put it in your mouth and you suck on a rock and it produces saliva.
Oh.
Now, it's not helping me anything because I still have a wet mouth instead of a dry mouth. And it worked until we got back to camp. And we vowed never to go on that camp with that guy again. But anyway, says, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry land where no water is. And that is a description of how we should be early in the morning. You know, by the way, once you get your day started, you're going to be in a dry and thirsty land. How many people that you work with are walking around with their Bibles, quoting the Bible? Probably not many. How many are singing the praises that come out of the hymn book? Probably not many. How many are going to be good testimonies around you to encourage you in the things of God? Probably not many. So you know what you're walking around in throughout the day? A dry and thirsty land where no water is. You've got no water from the word of God. And so if you don't get it early in the morning, you're probably not going to get it. So the key to stress, by the way, when I get to work, is stress going to come?
Oh, yes.
Is it going to come before I want it to?
Yes.
I don't want it to come at all. And so anytime it comes in, it's going to come before I want it. And so the psalmist says, you know what? I've got to have this. And by the way, we lose our strength. We lose our energy. We lose our zeal. We lose our fervency for the Lord when we are under the weight and pressure of stress. When we sit at the feet of Jesus and drink from his word early in the morning, we can be restored. And by the way, you want to be filled up in the morning so that you can actually go with the Lord. By the way, any of you ever ran out of gas? It's the most discouraging thing that ever happened. Especially when you're close to a gas station.
Oh, my goodness, Pastor.
And you got money in your pocket. I remember my light came on and I had to get some gas. And so being the frugal person that I am, I was looking for the gas station that had the right price. Oh. And so I found the gas station that had the right price. And so I said, okay, I'm going to come right back to that gas station. I was zipped down here to get some items. And as I was zipping back, guess what happened? Ran out of gas. Money in my pocket. Credit card in my pocket. Empty tank. Gas station, I can see. No, I didn't. I did the unthinkable. I went and bought a gas can and had to go down and get some gas, which slowed me down. What should I have done? Before I ran out of gas, what should I have done? I should have got some gas, amen. Even if I just put in a dollar, amen, that would have got me over the hump. But here, me thinking that I can make it, I can make it, I can make it. I'm just going to zip down here, and I can see the gas station. So once I get down there, I can get back down here. I can do this. Isn't that how we leave home sometimes? I know I got the Bible there. I know I should read it. I know I should study, but I'm just going down here, and I'll come back to it later. And you run out of gas. And that stressful event comes up. That stressful thing happens. And you're stranded. And you can see the Bible. You can see the word that you should have read. But you're stranded. Been there, done that. Not a good place to be. So the psalmist said, I got up early in the morning to do this. Early will I seek the Lord. By the way, does the early hours work for everybody? No. Some people are just not morning. By the way, I am not a morning person by any means at all. I'm the late bird. I'm the late owl, whatever you want to call them. I can stay up till times get tough. And that's when I do my best work, when everybody goes to sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm not a morning person. My wife is just the opposite. She's burning midnight oil by about 7 o'clock. And she's like, look, I got to go to bed. I'm tired. But she can get up early. I mean, she can get up 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm over there. I just got into bed, amen. I'm just going to sleep. You know, so don't you want to wake up, honey? No, I don't. No, I want to get some sleep. And so it doesn't work for everybody, but the advantages of getting the Bible early before you face people, it cannot be understated. I don't know when you do it, but I know the best hour is before you meet people. And whenever it is that you're going to meet people, you need to get in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
You need to read it. And so whenever you're going to see those people, Lord, I need to see you before I see anybody. Because if I see them before I see you, guess what? Woe be unto me. I may see somebody that looks like me. That's not pretty. And so he says, early will I seek thee. By the way, early will I seek thee, the psalmist said there. When we sit at Jesus' feet and drink from his word, we get restored. And only then we are prepared to accomplish the task there before us. And by the way, this is how we should serve the Lord. Go to Romans 12:11. Romans 12:11. And by the way, we can't serve God this way if we don't have from God to serve him this way. Romans 12:11. Who's there can read that for me? Romans 12:11. Who's got that verse? Go ahead, Rose. Amen. That's how God wants us to be. By the way, it gives us a laundry list of how we should be, and this is how we can be if we have the word of God. Notice verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation is a big word that means hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. We can have that if we get along with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. We definitely need that, don't we?
Oh, yes.
Patient in tribulation. What causes stress? Tribulation. If there were no tribulation, there would be no stress. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Prayer will help with that. Distributing to the necessity of saints, giving the hospitality. If we had that time with the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at his feet, we could have that mentality, because that's how God wants us to serve amongst people.
Right.
And oftentimes that's difficult if you've not been in touch with God in the morning. Amen.
That's right, Pastor.
Before we close here, let me quickly give you the outline for the next chapter. So you've got Roman number one, the pace of Mary. It's a restful pace, a renewing pace. Renew your focus, number one. Renew your faith, number two. Number three, renew your fervency. Then number two, I'm just going to give you these and we'll go over this next week. The place of Mary. No, we won't go over this. Brother Duffy's teaching next week. The place of Mary is Roman numeral two, the place of Mary. And A, it's a humble place. A humble place. B, it's an honorable place. An honorable place. Honorable place. By the way, are we likely to get any rewards for sitting at the feet of Jesus by man's standards? Is man going to give you a trophy? Jesse, you sit at Jesus' feet. Here you go, first place. Man could care less whether you sit at Jesus' feet. They don't give you anything. Now, if you sit at the boss's feet, will they give you something? Oh, yeah, give you the Brownie Award. Or you might get promoted. You may get these things. But sitting at Jesus' feet? It's an honorable place, but you're not going to get a whole lot for it by earthly standards. But heavenly standards, oh, the blessings that you get. Be an honorable place. Then number three, the purpose of Mary. Number three, the purpose of Mary. And A, it's a spiritual purpose. B, it's an eternal purpose. And we'll look to finish this out next time. Everybody get those?
Yep.
Roman number two, the place of Mary. It's a humble place, A. Honorable place, B. Number three, the purpose of Mary. It's a spiritual purpose. And then B, an eternal purpose. And so we'll pick up with that. Let's leave you with Psalm 63:1 for your memory verse for next week. Psalm 63:1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalm 63:1 will be our memory verse. Psalm 63:1. You've got 2 weeks to meditate on that. Brother Duffy's got next week. And believe it or not, the week after that is the first week of the new quarter, winter quarter. And so we'll have awards then, December 4th. So this quarter is about at a close already. I cannot believe that it has come up that quick. So that is your verse there again. Psalm 63:1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Again, next Sunday. Next Sunday night, we're going to be talking about how to diminish some of the stress of the holidays and how to put some things in order in your life so that it's not as stressful. And I'll share with you some of the things that we normally do in our household to try to eliminate some stress. My house is still not stress-free because people live in it. Amen.
Yep.
But it is less stressful. And by the way, I am the pastor. This is the pastor's wife. And so we have probably a little bit more responsibilities than the next person. Amen. And so we have to try to, on purpose, minimize stressful things and stressful situations. Are we perfect with it? No. Do we get it right all the time? No. Do we endeavor to try to do it? Yes. Why? It helps. Amen.
Yes.
So Psalms 63:1 is our verse. Brother Duffy's got the class next week. And then the following week is going to be the start of December with awards. And then we'll be back up right after that. And my, how time flies.
Yes, sir, Pastor, it does fly.
I can't.